In the name of Jesus, amen. Our meditation this morning is based on Paul's words to the church in Philippi, also the church in North Texas. And it's it begins with chapter 1, verse 2, where we hear this. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Many who comment on Paul's letters to various churches suggest that by far, Paul's favorite church was the church in Philippi. The way he talks so passionately is a whole lot different than the way he talks to the church in Corinth, for instance. But don't misunderstand me. He loved both churches very much. But there is a difference. And it's the partnership that Paul saw with the church in Philippi from the very beginning. We're going through a time as a congregation of thinking and evaluating, trying to do some research and development things out of the box. We're looking at our old vision statement. We're thinking about where we're at by God's design, and we call this St. Paul 2.0. And there's a lot of unknown about it. And so as we go through this process, thinking about where we're at, coming out of the pandemic, if we are coming out, some would suggest we're not. It's just the same song, the next stanza. But as we do this, we are certainly praying that God reveal to us his plan for us. But we also need to heed what God says in his word. And today we're thinking about Paul's comments to the church back then, and thinking about those comments that apply to us right now. And the title of this brief meditation is St. Paul, Lutheran Church, A Partnership in the Gospel. Partnership. When you hear that term partnership, anything come to mind? I mean, maybe it's not that common to think of your marriage or your parenting as being a partnership. Maybe you're in a partnership where you're working with a few others to take advantage of the business you're in. Maybe you've retired from being in a partnership. But think about us as a partnership. Paul says, a partnership with me. So certainly, Paul looked at the church in Philippi, and even though he's incarcerated, he sees them as in a partnership together. Maybe nothing comes to your mind with regard to a partnership. Maybe it's even harder to wrap your brain around the idea of our membership as a partnership. In it together, relying on each other's strengths, understanding the weaknesses, discerning what's necessary, figuring out how to carry out what God would have us carry out in North Texas. Partnership. Now, the challenge with the idea of partnership is maybe what you start thinking about a little bit of how hard it is to be in a partnership, how hard it is to work with someone else in a marriage, how hard it is to work with business associates that seem to be in it for themselves. And certainly that is a part of the problem when it comes to a partnership because, well, we're just people. And people are good at looking out for number one. They're pushing and shoving. They're focusing on what's in it for them. And, you know, I mean, did you have a brother or a sister growing up? Everyone? Who had siblings growing up? Hardly a partnership, right? It's pretty epic war at times. You know, one gets more favor than the other, and why am I so left out, and that's not fair, me too, me first, and so forth. Pushing and shoving, looking out for number one. Yeah, that's the way of our world. We see it in so many different ways. We're living in a time that's almost shrill. I mean, we're all suffering, we're all tired, we've all been going through all this hypersensitivity stuff. I mean, you can't watch these old Christmas movies without introducing the politics into them. Like White Christmas. How dare they name a movie like that? You know, well, what do you name it? Or what do you do? I mean, it's amazing how we're almost like in an age of shrillness, over the top, tribal. Can't hear the other side because I'm just too stirred up. And yet for us, we have hope and we have peace. And there's a way out of that madhouse. There's a person that draws us time and again out of that confusion. And it's our Savior Jesus. He says it this way. Jesus answered, "This voice has come," he was approved by his Father, "this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. He would be raised up on a cross. He would die in your place and my place. He would lay down his life so that we would be the receivers of God's grace. Undeserving favor. God's mercy, not getting what we deserve. That's kind of the way you think about grace and mercy differently. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we deserve, if you can follow that. But in Christ, we have been drawn out of pushing and shoving and tribalism and cliquishness, and we're brought into a place where we're in partnership with Christ and in partnership with each other. I mean, it's quite an interesting thing to consider. God brings everything to the partnership. That's good. And he gives it to us. And in return, we share with him everything that goes wrong. And he's willing to take that on himself and draw us into that place of grace and mercy and love. I mean, what a gift it is to think about that. As you lift high Jesus, as you talk with your family about what the Lord has done in laying down his life to forgive and to bless, they are being drawn into a partnership. As you share forgiveness, you reboot the partnership. As you talk honestly and openly about what it means to be forgiven and how that forgiveness impacts because of what Christ has done, your partnership just blossoms with God and with one another in some really amazing ways. But it's because of God's grace. Now, there's a lot of different kind of partnerships out there. There can be partnerships of anger. There can be partnerships of fear. There can be partnerships of bitterness, but there's no partnership like that of grace, where we forgive one another, where we learn again what it means to be God's family. And we read in Luther's Large Catechism between services how God would have this partnership last forever. And think about how many ways God's grace can come to your rescue. How many ways Jesus can come to your rescue across all the hats you wear in your life. Understanding that across all those things, you're in partnership with the Lord and his family. Even though in a lot of ways it's hard to even see that partnership. But what a gift it is to know that Christ has drawn us to himself and that ours is a partnership of grace. Wonderful. Wonderful to consider. And so we say it this way in our Lutheran theology. The Word brings us to faith. Christ brings us to faith. Christ revives us time and again, and he sustains us in the faith. So that we can be about what the body of Christ is about. This is another way of thinking about our partnership. You know, a corporation is a single person. And we're a single person as a 501c3. Think about us as the body of Christ in North Texas. What part of the body is not important? The challenge for us is to understand how we fit together. That takes some effort. And certainly we see in the church in Corinth how hard it was for the church to figure out how it fit together. It sounds to me like the church in Philippi had an easier time with it. Who knows why? Although there could be some interesting speculation. But we are to value who and what we are together. The challenge in saying this is we're so used to thinking of ourselves separately. And maybe for some of you today, it's really hard to think about us as being a partnership when it just seems like we have a few here and there, and there's some doing this and some doing that, and where are the others? But in truth, all are important. And that's why we need to pray for each other and understand that our phone book, when it comes out, is a prayer book where we pray for one another, just like Paul prayed for the church long ago. Maybe it's a little awkward holding some of our members in our hearts. Do it anyway. Pray for them anyway. Ask God's blessing on them. We're in it together. But what are we in together? Well, there's an old term, and maybe this is just clergy speak, but it's called mission and ministry. Now, the only real picture of this that continues to exist oftentimes in churches is every year we pass an annual budget. Oh, that's exciting. So it's all about money. Whose money is it anyway? It's the Lord's money. But how is it supposed to be spent? In mission and ministry. Mission. How are we going to specifically target a group and say that's our mission? What's it going to take? How often we want to do it? What's it going to cost? Also, how are we to grow each other and encourage each other in the faith of growing in love and good works? We call that ministry. How many different kinds of ministries have we? Are we slowly growing in some of our efforts of caring better for each other? Ministry. The challenge with saying all this is it's a small part of our partnership with each other, and it's a small part of our partnership with the Lord. Most of your partnership with the Lord is lived out in your larger mission and ministry activity. Most of your life is lived in your own mission and ministry field, where you live, the people that only you can reach and connect with, where you work, where you spend time in retirement, your kids, your grandkids, your extended family. That's where most of your mission and ministry partnership with the Lord in grace is carried out. You've got a lot going on. And only a small part of your partnership with Jesus and with each other is here as a congregation by God's design. It doesn't hurt for us to know what we're doing across all of our mission and ministry. But are you kind of like I am? Life is what happens when you're making plans for mission and ministry. You know, but who knows what he wants to accomplish in and through you? Who knows what he wants to accomplish in and through us? The Lord does. So it behooves us to keep reporting for duty, right? Reporting for duty, sir. What would you have us do? How would you have us go forward? Right? And yet that just seems like we've got to keep all these balls in the air. We've got to keep all these plates spinning on the Ed Sullivan show. But here's the good news. Paul said it long ago, and he says it again today. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's his conviction. What God has started in your life, he will finish. Isn't that good news? I'm glad someone can keep track of it all and can see that it gets done. In Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus is referred to as the author and finisher of our faith. So the story that he started in you, that touches all kinds of lives, that involve all kinds of, at times, very difficult things to do, he'll get it done. Makes you want to walk close with the Lord, right? Amen? Isn't it nice to know that someone can keep your planner all in order? Amen? I mean, just keep surrendering it all to him all the time. And he will establish your thoughts. Proverbs 16:3. He can do it. It's so cool. Your life of mission and ministry, partnership of grace, connected with others, connected with brothers and sisters who together are called St. Paul, sometimes. But this is the truth. God has brought our individual stories of faith together for a time. Some of you have been here for quite some time, others not so much. We don't know how long we're all going to journey together in this partnership of grace as a congregation. But there's all kinds of things that God has in store for us as we journey together, as we celebrate what it means to be sinners saved by grace, empowered by grace, blessed with all kinds of treasures from God that just go across the spectrum of our life, from the simple material gifts that are in our lives to the big material gifts that we are so thankful for, to all the spiritual gifts that God gives us. We together journey in North Texas for a time until the Lord calls us elsewhere or calls us home to the shores of forever, or our job changes. What do we call all this? A partnership of grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.